The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus answered, I say to you, not seven times, but 70 times seven times. This is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down and did him homage, saying, Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave his debt. When that same servant went out, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount, he seized him and started to choke him, demanding, Pay back what you owe. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had his fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said, You wicked servant, I forgave your entire debt because you begged me to do so. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you? And then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. Before I get to the homily, I might make one observation. It has become a practice to offer applause. Now, I love applause, but applause doesn't fit into the liturgy after a homily. It's time to be quiet and to be reflective and to pray that something that the homilist said might have meaning to us. So it's meant to be a gracious and quiet moment. So if you would refrain from the applause, I think that would be liturgically proper. So thank you very much. You can applaud me outside the church. I love applause, so that's okay. This gospel reading which we have today comes from the book of Matthew, and it's found only in the Gospel of Matthew, which leads us to believe that the Church of Matthew, remembering this story from the teachings of Jesus, had some trouble, some conflict, some need for forgiveness in the community of Matthew. And also, it indicates that Peter himself had some issues about forgiveness, since he was the one who came to Jesus and proposed the question in the first place. When I was reflecting on the teaching of this text, it crossed my mind that each of us interprets the Word of God from the place in which we find ourselves. And now, I being an elder, I interpret and preach the Word from the perspective of an elder. Now I know and now have experienced things that I would not have known 30 or 40 years ago. And therefore, each of us has to take the Word of God and accommodate the Word of God to our own personal perspective and our own personal place in life. Some years ago, I began to read all I could find, 25, 30 years ago, about midlife spirituality and second of a half of life teaching. There is much written on it, and it emphasizes that in the second half of life, relationships become the primary focus. The meaning of life is somehow attached to relationships. And therefore, in the second half of life, issues like isolation and loneliness or unhealed wounds, deeply embedded, divisions, people separated from us, all of these become burdens and become issues in second half of life spirituality. When I was down at the Archdiocese for all those years, one of my assignments was I was the keeper of the wills. Every priest canonically is required to have a will, and I was the keeper of the wills of the priests. So when a priest died, it was my job to open the will and say, what did this man want? He wanted buried from Holy Family, and he wanted whatever he wanted. But it was very common, almost consistent, that every priest in making his will had a preamble. And in the preamble, he would ask for forgiveness. I ask for forgiveness for any way in which I have offended anyone, and I forgive anyone who has offended me. It seemed like a very important part of the last testimony. The last thing you want to say is you want to die in peace. And therefore, when you come to reflect on sickness and speak to yourself about death, somehow the notion of forgiveness comes into focus. Since we all want to walk in peace, and we all want to die in peace. Frederick Tennyson puts it this way in one of his poems. He said, two aged men who had been foes for years met by a grave, and they wept, and their tears wiped away the memories of their strife. And then they wept again for the years that were lost. And years are lost when forgiveness is wanting. In the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke, somehow the Lucan Jesus must forgive in order to complete the testimony and the journey of salvation. And therefore you'll find only in Luke's gospel that Jesus asks, forgive those who are crucifying him because they know not what to do. And also only in Luke's gospel will you find what we call the good thief, the story of the good thief. He's called Dismas, which comes from an apocryphal gospel. And he turns toward Jesus and he asks that he be remembered when Jesus comes into the kingdom. And Jesus says, this day you will be with me in paradise. By the way, in iconography and in art, you'll find very frequently that in depicting Jesus on the cross, his head is turned to the right because Dismas was on his right side. The thief whom he forgave and whom he welcomed into the kingdom. It's also interesting that the thief does not ask for forgiveness, at least he doesn't articulate that in the gospel. He just asks to be remembered when Jesus comes into the kingdom. Therefore, it's not unusual for people to frame their asking for forgiveness without really using the word forgiveness. It might be a word of kindness. It might be a word of friendship. It might be a seeking to be reconciled. So keep that in mind when we are dealing with the issue of forgiveness in our lives. There's a very moving story told about this single mother who had an only child, a son. The son's name was Paul. He lived in Texas, in Austin. And Paul was a 21-year-old senior at Austin Community College in 1958. On one evening, she had a very bad cold and her son called her. He was about an hour away from her home and he wanted to come home to take care of her, but she insisted he stay in college. That night when he was driving home, he was carjacked by a young man just 17 years old who shot him and killed him. Thomas Ann, the mother, of course, was overcome with grief and with guilt, perhaps. Had she allowed him to come home, his life would have been saved. She went through 13 years of depression and deep, deep anxiety. Life was not worth living. Without her son, there was no meaning to life. And the manner in which he was killed, it was a random carjacking. The random carjacking manner in which he was killed disturbed her deeply. She went through great, great anxiety. She became profoundly spiritual, turned to the Lord, seeking the grace to find meaning in her life. She went on like that for 13 years. And after 13 years, she decided to go to visit Robert White, the young man who killed her son. She went to the prison, it was all prearranged, to have a meeting with him, not to be reconciled with him. She wanted to know if her son said anything before he killed him. What did he look like? Was he fearful? Did he die in pain? What was the last thing that this young man would remember about her son? Perhaps he could tell her something that might console her. It was arranged that they would have a long meeting for 8 hours with a 40-minute break for lunch. And somewhere in the meeting, this young man, who was spared the death penalty because he was underage in Texas, put his head down on the table and he wept. And she laid her hand upon him and they were bonded. And she said, "I found my son. I found my son." And when she was leaving, she hugged him generously. And she found herself. She became an advocate for those in prison and found meaning in her life. For when you forgive, you become whole. When you forgive, you'll find meaning in your life. There's an emptiness in the absence of forgiveness. There's a conflict. There's a wound. We are diminished for the absence of forgiveness. So listen to the word of God today, because we are all carrying wounds. Some years ago, I decided that I would like to be truly free. And I arrived at a place in my own life where I have no enemies. There is nobody I will not talk to. It wasn't always like this in my life, but I decided that I need to claim my life, my whole life, my full life. I needed to search for a deeper sense of spiritual freedom in my life, to heal unhealed wounds, to forgive anybody, and to ask for forgiveness for anyone that I may have offended. And by the grace of God, I claimed the freedom of one who is forgiven and the freedom of one who forgives. Amen.